The Cultural Revolution, which many of you might have, I'm sure a lot of you have heard, the correct name is called the Great Proletarian Cultural Revolution, and started in August 1966 and ended with great leader Chairman Mao's death in September, I still remember, 1976. Okay, we'll do three things as well. Origin, you know, where it came from, what happened, the theater of it, and the consequences. Although, I have to say, not much has been written on the subject matter, partly because it's too recent. So sources are not available. And witnesses, like my parents and myself, a lot of people have not reconciled with this, and they just want to forget it and move on. And so it's a problem, and it's waiting for your generation to go and do it. Many of you know that on the 1st of October, 1949, Chairman Mao and all the communist leaders stood on Tiananmen Square and declared the founding of the People's Republic of China. And that looked very grand and majestic. Another China was born, but actually behind the curtains, it was a problem. There was a lot of problem. One of the problem is there's no precedence of how to run this country. You know, if it was an empire, you just run it as an empire because you profess yourself as a modern nation state. And the worst problem is you have to know the communist army, the Red Army, that managed to secure China were made of mainly two kinds of people, if you will. One is people like Mao, extremely left-wing intellectuals. That's one group of people. The other majority who fought the wars are peasants who were, most of them, illiterate. They couldn't even write their names. And those are the people who can run China. So you can see a huge amount of problem coming with this. And China had received a lot of help from the Soviet Union because from a theoretical perspective and material wise. And China would not have secured Manchuria and northern China from the nationalists and the Japanese without help from the Red Army. So you can imagine, okay, here's a new country we've created. We need to run this country. How are we going to run it? And China was in bad shape after a century of war. And as you've just heard, from the Opium War to the Second World War, it's just every decade there was some sort of war, you know, Boxer Rebellion, Nationalist Revolution, every decade. So China was in dire need of economic rejuvenation and modernization, because you've got women whose feet were bound, right? I've got husbands who still beat up their wives every week as a sign of being a husband. So there's lots to be done. And then you've got these people. And then you got help from Soviet Union. And of course, the Soviet pushed for the Soviet model. Soviet economic model is what they called the first five-year plan, the five-year plan. So they built up the country, reconstructed country in a five-year term. So 5 years, first 5 years, we do this, and the next 5 years. But the essence of the five-year plan is really two. One is to build infrastructures as the state's responsibility. The other is nationalization of everything, from industry to commerce to what have you, to schools. So this was a mighty job. And now here comes the little crack in the wall. Because this was Mao's idea and some of his colleagues, but other people in the leadership, not everybody agreed with Mao. And Deng Xiaoping, who is going to pick up the baton after Mao dies, was against that. No, you don't nationalize everything. We don't have to follow the Soviet model. We can find our own way. But the thing is, they had nothing to fight against Mao because nobody has tried the five-year plan before. And it looked like it was quite successful in Russia because Russia supplied China with ammunition, with weapons, with expertise, with engineers, with just about everything. Fine, maybe we should try that. So in other words, a lot of people in the leadership went along with this idea. But then they harbored, you know, suspicions and distrust. But they couldn't voice anything because there's nothing that they could say. Okay, so the first five-year plan went into action in 1950. To cut the story short and to also galvanize your thinking, can you imagine in a large country like China, if the government officials, who are made up of illiterate peasants, left-wing intellectuals, can you imagine when they become heads of factories and businesses? The obvious result was that output declined and morale was low. Because if I don't own the business, my shop, which used to be mine, why would I bother going there every day if nobody is going to take salaries away from me, right? So this is principles of the market, which I think the communist officials wasn't quite aware. And just by law say, okay, you have to go and work today. Well, nobody says I should. And you're not going to punish me with not. So in other words, this was a huge problem in the industrial and agricultural sector. And this was compounded by natural disasters. And I just don't know why in 1950s there were so many natural disasters. So bad management, if you will, in today's jargon, bad management and bad weather compounded to make the problem worse. Historians have not agreed with numbers, but the number 20 to 40 million have been suggested, that 20 to 40 million of people died of starvation in China in the 1950s up until 1961. There was not enough food, people were not growing enough food. And also, you have to bear in mind, and this touches upon the Cold War, you know, it's not the Cold War, it's the Hot War, because you saw the Korean War, and some of you might not know China had wars with Burma and India and Russia, so, and later with Vietnam, of course. So all this bad management, bad weather, and bad international environment had all compounded to make the Soviet model just didn't work.